You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. So, what is this saying to you and me here in the West Watford Free Church building at 11:05 on a Sunday morning in January? What's it saying to us here? I'll tell you what it's saying. You're going to find out because you're going to figure it out. This is one of those lessons today when you're going to do most of the work and give me a day off. So I'm letting you know ahead of time, we'll do a little bit of small group work in a short time. We're going to be talking today about what the modern day equivalent of these things might actually be. Have you ever been shot at? I mean, like with an arrow or a gun. I mean, you don't have to admit it. I mean, it may be your nefarious past. I don't know whether you were shot at or shot somebody else. I don't know. But Bromin? A lot of close friends have been held up at gunpoint, you know, personally. Yeah, some of us here. David?
One of them, you know, has been walked on. We were up at gunpoint.
You were held up at gunpoint?
Well, in the Malay Lice. And doing the Mexican post movie, building the mountain path with one little wheel gun. And I was like, I think Kermit's
awesome. What? Yeah, was it a real gun? I didn't want to find out. Right. Oh my goodness, that's very intense. Gosh, I don't know. I've not been shot at. I do know somebody who in this room who was shot at, but not with a real gun, but with a paintball gun. I remember somebody. So Lance and myself, back in 90 something, right, early 90s, we went paintballing with all the staff. Of the London church, it might have been more, I don't know, but a big bunch of us went somewhere paintballing. I don't know if you were there, Trevor. I know you were there too. Okay, there you go. Okay, so a bunch of us went paintballing, and one of the rules in paintballing is, I mean, you can obviously shoot at each other with the paintball guns, but only when you're actually sort of supposed to be, like doing an exercise. We were told very specifically by the person commanding us and guiding us that you were not allowed to sort of shoot each other off outside of the actual exercises, right? Well, we had a mutual friend called...
That's spraying that gun.
We had a mutual friend called Chris McGraw. And Chris was not one of those people who always played by the rules, shall we say. And he sneaked up behind Lance during one of the briefings and shot him in the behind at point blank range. I mean, and those things hurt, yeah. Right? They really. But here's the thing: I just want to show my appreciation for the depth of Lance's spirituality. At that moment of sudden surprise shock of that happening from behind, not one bad word came out of his mouth. No bad words, just a sort of, oh gosh, that hurt, or something rather like that. It's always stuck with me at how righteous Lance is. You see, he guards his mouth at all times, but it was very painful. When we're talking about the things we're talking about on that in these two verses, we're talking about things that shock us, that scare us, that are the things that cause great anxiety in our lives, right? That's what we're talking about. And we're talking about how God is with us in these challenges that we face. Now, of course, when you look at a psalm like Psalm 91 with all of its wonderful promises and how we're safe with God, resting in his shadow, dwelling in his shelter, he's our refuge and our fortress, we'll be safe from the foul snare, the deadly pestilence and all that. When we're looking at these promises, we need to be thinking about the fact that for Israel, that this was originally written within the context of Israel, these were very real practical protections. Now that we are new covenant people, these are more metaphorical protections, spiritual protections. Not to say that God doesn't protect us from physical things, but it's a different kind of experience because we have a different kind of relationship with God. So what we're going to do today is we're going to be discussing the kinds of human attacks and, if you like, inhuman enemies that we have. Because some of these things are visible and some are invisible, you might say. The pestilence is sort of invisible. The plague is invisible, but the arrow is a very visible thing. And some seem to come directly from people and some maybe not. So that's what we're going to be talking about here. So what I'm going to ask us to do for a few minutes is I have some index cards here and I'm going to give them out and I'm going to ask you to think about one of those lines, only one of them, one per card. And it, so, for example, I'd like, let's see, the terror of the night. So if you're going to do the terror of the night, you're going to get a pink card that has the letter T already on it. And that means you're going to be thinking about that, okay? And what I'm going to ask you to do is think, first of all, what would be a terror of the night for an Israelite? What might that be, a terror of the night for an Israelite? And then secondarily, for us today, what might be the sort of terror of the night that God might be saying he's going to protect us from and help us with? Does that make sense? So you're thinking, first of all, about the context of the Israelites. Secondly, the context for us today. So a T for terror, a D for destruction, an A for an arrow, and what's the pink? No, I've done that one. Anyway, the other one's here as well. Anyway, you'll understand when you get your card, right? So like a small group of like three people, all right? Keep the group small, and you've got about, let me give you, say about 7 or 8 minutes for this, all right? And then we'll come back together and share what we've learned from it. So
there's the gate.
And share our findings. Share what the Spirit has revealed. So Leon has a roving microphone, and so he'll bring it to you for your sharing. Please do use it, because even if we can hear you in this room, it helps the people online to be able to hear what's being shared, right? So that's why we're using it for that reason. I'm just going to go through each of the four, and if you have a card that fits with that one, then please feel free to share. Obviously, with all the people in the room, if you could keep your sharing, you know, on the shorter end, that would be helpful. Otherwise, we'll be here till Wednesday, and the heating goes off at 1 o'clock, so you don't want that. So, okay, so the terror of the night. Who had the T? Who had the T cards? Over there and there. Let's start here, shall we? Okay. Terror of the night for an Israelite and for us. What would you say?
First,
spoke about the Israelites and obviously sort of physical terrors about being maybe being attacked or robbed, or their livestock sort of taken as well. But we also compared that to us as well. We obviously compared like your house being attacked. But we also thought about the mental side as well, about if we wake up, if we've got financial problems, you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, worry about that. But also maybe the Israelites had that as well. If the weather wasn't good for the crops and things like this. So who's to say they weren't waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Quite right.
Yeah. Bad things.
That makes sense. Okay. Anything else from that group? Or no, that's a good summary. Okay. Who else had the tea over there? Okay. Let's do that one there. And then you have as well, Lisa. Okay. Who's going to speak?
Great. So we had 3 points under the terror for the Israelites. We said, you know, when Moses was placed in the basket on the river, there was the call for firstborn killings. So that was one of the terrors. And then also later on, you know, there was another firstborn killings in Moses' time as well. And then two-year-old boys through Herod, also, you know, terrors for Israelites. But also, if you didn't have the blood on the post of your door, that will be a terror that your firstborn son may also be killed if you forgot to do that. So those are some of the examples. For us, we said sudden calamity, like the recent fires in LA.
Yeah.
It's a very good example. And dreadful illnesses. You know, you don't know sometimes if a loved one or yourself or somebody would wake up and not see another day. So those are some of the examples. Did we have anything else in our group? That's it.
Thanks very much.
Excellent.
Super.
Thank you.
And there's another group here with Lisa as well. Yeah. So
for the terror of the night for the Israelites, we're thinking similar to that group over there in terms of back in the day, there was the only light they had was fire, and there was no street lights, there was no electricity. So you know, it's kind of staying in the safety of your own home, because on a practical level, what would happen when you go outside? You might get robbed or beaten up or killed, whatever. In terms of for us, we were thinking of more on a personal level. We were thinking, okay, so nighttime, it kind of symbolizes darkness, and what can be hidden in the darkness is our internal stuff. It could be stuff that we are feeling shameful about, and it could be sin that we don't want to talk about, or we find difficult to express to other people or to God. So it's kind of hidden in the dark. So that could be an internal struggle that could also be a bit difficult and frightening for us to deal with on a personal level. So,
well, thank you for that. Yeah, we're very used to being able to call on light when we want light, right? Okay, is that all the T's? Okay, the arrows, the A's. Who had the A's? Who had the arrows? If you start at the back there, we turn behind you. Actually, Leon, there you go. Start back there and move forward. Thanks.
Okay. We start to unpack the meaning of an arrow, and that's something that is very fast, you know, and it can hit you without even realizing it. Mm. Yeah. So practically a weapon of terror, a weapon of aggression, which is very, you know, common in those days. You know, tribes rise up against each other, you know, for no reasons whatsoever, you know, either for economic, you know, so many examples in the Bible. Like the Old Testament was full of, you know, the Israelites, you know, constantly at war with some of their neighbors, you know, just to find a place to call home. Yeah. So so that's an example for the Israelis. Yeah. For us today, it really covers quite a lot of things. Yeah. Because when you think of something that can sneak up on you without realizing it, it's very much like the daily worries of today. You know, as someone mentioned, financial worries, you know, job security, you know, our children, for those of us who have kids, and also even our parents as well, who are getting on, you know, all those things, you know, they really give us a lot of mental anxiety and anguish that we think about, you know, without even realizing it. And it can easily take up your entire day and distract you from so many other things that God has actually, you know, blessed us and protected us with. So, yeah, it's a very, and at the same time, you know, when we look at it more deeply as well, it really shows that, you know, God's protection is really going to be there for us as well. So, yeah, so that was some of the things that we looked into.
Thank you very much.
And full disclosure, we sought some help from a very higher power.
Oh, really?
I'm talking about bytes and terabytes. Uh-huh. So that's where I'm going to leave it. Yeah, you know, you can draw your conclusions from that. Yeah.
We'll deal with plagiarism later. Yeah, okay. All right. Where, there was another group down. Was it Trevor? Yeah.
Sure.
Yes, we thought about if you got hit with an arrow back in the Israelite time of the Hebrews, either it could kill you or you could get a flesh wound or something like that. And if we got hit today with that type of arrow, we could go to the doctor or the hospital or something. Back then you couldn't. There was no hospitals. You could probably get some kind of herbs that could put on it, but it's not. The chance of you dying from it would be pretty high.
Very high.
If it didn't kill you instantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they would have been doing everything in their power to avoid being hit by an arrow, apart from the obvious of being killed. But what could happen afterwards if you're not killed? You could be having a very lingering death, couldn't you?
Yes.
So, yes. And then we talked about today. There's different types of arrows. Like you could be, people can say things to you that can pierce you like an arrow.
Yeah.
That could really hurt you and affect your confidence. And how you go about your life. So maybe your boss at work could say something to you, your colleagues, or also things like someone mentioned about knife crime, or some other kind of crime that you could be fearful because something is about to happen or could happen during your day. Hmm. So anything else about it? Yeah,
but the spiritual arrows. If you're not you're open to attack. If you're not reading your Bible, if you're not praying, you're open to attack by the arrow. So it's very important to be close to God.
Okay. We're vulnerable. That's right. Yeah. While you're bringing it forward to this group here, social media side of things, I think
that you're talking about the words that can hurt us. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of pain for a lot of people going on from being attacked online.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
So Leon and Chris and I, we talked about, obviously, you can only really fire at IRO during the day because you can't see, so it's going to be a daytime attack, which means for the Israelites that war may have begun. Means that it's also you have to prepare yourself to ready yourself to then all of a sudden defend yourself because it's by surprise. And also, it's one of those weapons that are hard to defend against. Takes you by surprise because of the speed, it's difficult. And in applying that to our daily lives, similar to what Trevor was saying, would be with bullying. Think about bullying what goes on at school during the day. Or bad news what comes out of the blue. Or even theft during the day. You think about, you know, you kind of expect that someone might steal something from you at night time. But during the day, in plain sight, it's unexpected.
Still happens.
And hard to defend against because you're not prepared for it as much.
Thank you very much. Okay, we got something online? Yeah.
So much.
From online, Bemi, destruction of the day like earthquakes, wildfires, well, that's in the news, of course. Other natural disasters. By the way, let's be praying for our brothers and sisters in Los Angeles. I do know a number of people, they have lost their homes from our churches there. Arrows that fly by day, Goliath and the enemies that fought against the Israelites. For us, deadly animals. Not sure how many deadly animals there are in Hatfield, Bemi, but I guess more broadly, yeah. Terror of the night, death of the Egyptians, the firstborn, armed robbers, yeah. Okay, there's more, which I'll come back to you maybe, okay, if I give that to you. Right, we did A. Who's got pestilence? B for pestilence. Okay, we'll start here then, shall we?
Yeah. So for the Israelis with pestilence, you know, you'd usually be thinking about destruction of crops or something to do with their homes falling apart, maybe disease or a famine that has rolled through. So under the time, it's more of the physical things that can happen to them. But for us in sort of the modern era, you know, we're not really too concerned about crops because we can go down to Tesco. Our home can just be repaired by, you know, a builder. Disease, you have antibiotics. But for us, we were discussing that it can mainly be sin, essentially, is the persistent cause for us. You know, we've known that sin can be crouching at our door, waiting to devour us. And what we were really discussing is that you need to be alert with the pestilence of the sin that you have, that you need to keep conscious and aware that if you don't essentially deal with it and you're not on guard all the time or praying or reading your Bible, it can devour you, essentially.
That's terrific. Thank you very much. Who else had this one? Going back there, if you like. Steve?
Hi, yeah, pestilence. So we fought for the Israelites, failure of crops again, disease like all the boils and what have you when the Israelites left Egypt, and locusts, plagues of locusts. Yeah. And we got quite inventive on the us side of pestilence.
Come on, be inventive. So
here goes. We saw major illness. We thought about COVID. As a pestilence that fell upon us. We thought about bed bugs, that pestilence that happened in France. Not here, of course, but in France. And then we thought about cholera. That's definitely a thing in some African cities. In Lusaka, so it infects the water supply and everyone gets very sick. And then we thought about rodents. That does happen here. We had a long discussion about whether rodents could swim up the toilet and arrive in the toilet. And that's where we ended it. Yeah.
Okay. We cover everything here. Who else had this one? Bruce, over there.
Steve and I didn't have a lot extra to add from what you guys sort of have already said, but we thought about, I googled the pestilence, and so there's also the things of crops, but there's the things like bubonic plagues and the diseases which people have spoken about before. But what we did think about for stalks in darkness, the idea of stalking is hidden, and things that destroy which are hidden, you know, I was thinking of gossip, Okay. Thinking yeah. of, okay. of sins that are not obvious, that are, it says, because stalking in darkness, it kind of has this, for me, this potential for jumping at you, grabbing you when you least expect it. So yeah, that was pretty much, I haven't got a lot of extra things to already add. The idea of things come to the toilet don't excite me.
Was there another one, another group that had this one? Yeah, down here with Victor.
Everything we wrote down has already been mentioned, so perhaps I agree with everybody else.
Okay, fair enough. Doesn't have to be repeated. Thanks, Victor. Last one, the destruction that wastes at noonday. Who had that? Which, where are we? Back again with Penny and then also Roman on that side.
Anything?
Destruction that wastes at noonday.
We talked about much of what's already been said, but in particular what happens at midday in broad daylight, and apparently Maggie looked it up, AI comes to the rescue. The idea that like heat exhaustion, and we just thought about the doctor that is a bit of a household name who died last summer unexpectedly, and the theme of what's unexpected is coming out from a lot of this. And we talked about, for us nowadays, the challenges of hearing so much news from everywhere all the time. And that's something really only from the last few decades that I think we're exposed to, and how we manage that. And the challenge of staying connected, but not being overwhelmed.
Not being overwhelmed. We get a flood of bad news. We're not careful and manage that well, it can be overwhelming. Go on, Bromin.
We thought a little bit about the word wastes too, and thought about in the context of noonday wastes under the Israelites' time, where things that take away their resources. And then, so it's the same thing everyone else spoke about, fires, locusts, drought, practical, physical things that wasted their resource during the day. And then what wastes our resource today? And some of that is our habits too. Mm. Things like social media, things that take away, I don't know, our energy, our capacity to love, the things that take away our spiritual and practical resources. So I suppose more in the sense of kind of the slow wasting away of things because of decisions we make, and sometimes other things, other people, relationships waste away because of habits of how we interact, things like that.
That's a really good point. Just as you're passing that on to the next group, which is here, just a thought on that is what happens when the heat is on? Like, where do we go for refreshment when the heat is on in life? Like the heat of the noonday, where do we go for refreshment? We go to the healthy things or the unhealthy things? Might be a way to think about that. So go ahead.
Yeah, we are pretty much the same as everybody else. The only bit to add really is we talked about noonday is the brightest part of the day, so you should feel the safest. And so if something's happening at the brightest part of the day, it gets a feeling that it's unstoppable, it's unseen, it's more than unexpected, it's the safest part of the day.
Should be.
And then we also talked about the fact that some of the Israelites, or a lot of this nation, would be working in the noonday of the sun.
Yeah.
And the hottest part of the day. So the hardship that brings about, and the destruction that brings with it of having to work in the hottest part of the day. Other than that, we've got pretty much what the people said.
Okay. Terrific. Thanks. I'll tell you what. Thank you very much for all that wisdom. I suspect that there's something from what you heard that's relevant to you. And the question with all of these kinds of lessons is always not how does it all relate, but what is it, perhaps the thing that relates for you today? I'm going to wrap up this part in a moment here with a thought about Jesus and what this means for us. And then Josh is going to come up and lead us into the Lord's Supper. So a couple of thoughts. Fear is a real thing. And the things we fear are generally either real things physically, or they're real feelings and issues in our own lives. Fear is a real thing. And this psalm is not telling us that if you feel fearful about something, that there's something wrong with you. Fear is actually, of course, on many levels, a healthy emotion and a valuable one. But I think what this psalm is telling us is that there is literally nothing in this life that needs to allow us to be dominated by the fear of that thing. We don't need to be controlled by anything that causes fear. Emotionally, physically, practically in any sense. And that is a promise that God can give us because he's given us the resources so that we can find peace in the midst of our fears. I like this quote from the book called With by Sky Jathani, talking about God. He said his plan to restore his creation was not to send a list of rules and rituals to follow, nor was it the implementation of useful principles. He did not send a genie to grant our desires, nor did he give us a task to accomplish. Instead, God himself came to be with us, to walk with us once again, as he had done in Eden in the beginning. Why do we not need to be dominated by fear? Because God is with us in the situations that cause fear. He's with us. He's not standing far away or waiting for us to sort ourselves out. He's with us in the midst of it all. A scripture you may find useful is the Message version of Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, which I rather like. Don't be obsessed with getting more material things. Be relaxed with what you have. Since God assured us, I'll never let you down. Things do, right? Other people do, but I will never let you down. Never walk off and leave you. Therefore, we can boldly quote, God is there, ready to help. I'm fearless, no matter what. Who or what can get to me? Nothing can get to you spiritually that God can't protect you from. Penny and I lived in Manchester, and Bruce and Maggie will remember these days. There was a time when a couple of mad and bad people gave us a very hard time in some of our church services, came in and disrupted our services, and chased people down, members of the church, including Penny and myself. And there was one chap who, we had a Saturday evangelism session organized in Piccadilly Gardens in Manchester. And we met there, and this fella knew that's what we did every Saturday. So he came, and he started a fight with me. We tried to fight me, knocked my glasses off, punched me. And I was with Dwight Lawrence. Some of you will know Dwight Lawrence. And we'd paired up to go evangelizing together. So we were outside, and he was attacking us. So we sort of ran off into a shopping center. And I went into the first shop, and this fella chased us in, was kicking us really violently. It was very, very painful. And I said, call security, call the police. And they said, what's happening? And he was kicking me. I said, he's kicking me. So they said, okay. So the sales assistant picked up the phone and said, can I get the police? And as soon as she said that, this guy ran off because he knew a greater authority was coming. One with the power to overcome him was coming. You with me? It's often said, how do we deal with temptation? It's a bit like, you know, Satan comes knocking at the door. And we're tempted to answer the door, but instead we say, because Jesus is with us, we say, Jesus, would you mind answering the door? Jesus answered the door and Satan says, oh, wrong house. Jesus with us makes all the difference to our struggles and our temptations. So just to wrap up with this thought from Philippians 4, I love this. And this promise here is wonderful. Rejoice in the Lord always, and always includes the time when we're having a difficult time, right? And the fearful things that are happening. Again, I'll say it, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Four powerful words. The Lord is near. Therefore, do not worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We have a promise greater than given in Psalm 91 because they did not have the Spirit of Christ in them. And we do. We have Christ with us. So something to pray about this week, if you like, are these four steps when you feel yourself overwhelmed by fear. First, recognize the fear is with you. Notice the shortness of breath, the tightening of the jaw or the shoulders. Notice the flip in the stomach. Notice the whatever it is that lets you know you're tensing up in some sense. You're worried about something. Recognize. Secondly, remember what? Four words. The Lord is near. Secondly, remember. He's with you. Thirdly, present your requests. Now, fourthly, rest in the promise of his presence with you in your difficulty. Jesus is the reason we do not need to be consumed by fear, because he defeated our greatest fears, condemnation of sin and death. Therefore, we live a life without fear. Josh, why don't you come up and lead us to the Lord's Supper, please?